Amen. We may be seated. Hallelujah. Who is excited to be in the presence of God? This manifest presence of God. Such a beautiful, beautiful time. It doesn't matter what I'm experiencing in my day or how my day goes. Once I come into the company of the brethren, I am just elated. There's just this energy of the Spirit that literally catches me. It's like fire. It's like fire. And I want us to see that this is one of God's intelligences for us as a people, in that he has created community for us. God knows that there'll be moments where on your own you are like, I can't go any further. That was what happened to the prophets, the great prophets of old, like Elijah. You know, you walk alone for such a long time and you literally feel like there is nothing. You can't go any further. You are like, I cursed the day I was born because of how hard it is walking this journey by yourself. Same thing with Jeremiah. A lot of the people that God sends, they get to a point where they are like, God, are you sure you sent me? Are you still with me on this journey? But one of the beauties of our generation and this time and what God did when he instituted the church was that whenever we get to a point where we feel like we can't go any further, you look to the left, you look to the right, you realize you are not alone and you keep going. You keep surging ahead. You latch onto the energy of your brother, the energy of your sister. You remember that you can't even afford to give up because there's someone else who is latching onto your own energy. Someone requires you to keep standing. And so that's one of God's intelligences. And so no matter how smart we become and intelligent in this world, we can't be more intelligent than God himself. And so no matter how much people start to say, the church this, the church that, know that this is one of the intelligences of God. And it is not outside of, the enemy's schemes and strategies to want to oppose what God is doing with the church. It is not outside the enemy's. It's part of his own, MO. That's what he does. That's what he's going to continue to do. But we who are the church, who know the benefit of the church, and know the benefit of what God is doing with us, in us, through us, we have to stand fortified. I just felt very led and very, felt it very strongly in my spirit for me to share that with us this evening. That it's such a powerful thing to experience the community life. The beauty of community life, the energy that is within community. And so each and every one of us, we have one another to leverage. Amen. All right. From what I was sharing with us on Sunday, I just want to share. One other discipline. I want to quickly run through it, which is the, living a life of prayer. We spoke about living a life of worship. And I remember 2 weeks ago, I touched on it a little bit. And but I want us to just delve into this a little bit more tonight. It is so important to know that in order to really be a prophetic person, we have to be a people who are given to prayer. And if there's anything the enemy has attacked in our lives as believers, it's our prayer life. And the enemy is so strategic that he did not attack our prayer life only in that we never feel like praying. He attacked our prayer life in as much as we don't have the understanding of what prayer is. So he did not just go from the front. He went through the back door. He went through the back door. And he went, he stood there, and he just messed up some ideologies. And it's like, why do we find it difficult to pray? Except one is ill, one is sick. They don't find it difficult to eat. Except there's something fundamentally wrong with someone, you don't find it difficult to breathe. Except there's something fundamentally wrong with a person, you don't find it difficult again to speak. Except there is an issue with your speaking. And so I want to take it too from the back door, so that we can have clarity on what prayer is. The thing about praying is that There is a method to it. And Jesus exemplified this method for us. And another thing with prayer is that there are kinds of prayer. If you look at prayer as communication, you will see that there are different kinds of communication. It is absolutely impossible for our dear sister Enole and our brother Uyi to communicate with each other the same way all the time. It's practically impossible for two people to always communicate the same exact way all the time. The way God has created us as human beings, it is not sustainable to stand in front of Mr. Victor and have a conversation with Mr. Victor like this all the time. Taking it a step further, as husband and wife, do you really need to always open your mouth to communicate with your husband? Do you? Does your mother need to communicate with you by always opening her mouth? Ah. The eye, the body language, silence. Be afraid of the silence. Even though my husband is always telling me that I'm overdoing it, there are sometimes his mouth, I'll be like, babe, why did you do your mouth? Like, he's like, babe, it doesn't mean anything. I read his mouth. Like, he may just do like this. And I know what that means. Do you know why we are struggling with prayer? Because we think we must talk to God in one kind of way. It is not sustainable. You will feel like your spiritual life is dwindling every time you think that it must be that kind that we all know in. I don't need to say it. The reason why we can't even only depend on one kind of communication is that your father doesn't talk one way. Your father doesn't communicate with you one way. Even the Bible says it. I don't have it here. It says God speaks to man in one way, yet another. That's in Job, I think. One way, yet another. So sometimes he will speak to you in dreams. Sometimes visions. Sometimes he will bring angels. Then sometimes he will use pastors. Some days he will decide, let me use a donkey. Other days he will decide to use a tree. Another time he will use, you know, whoever. Your children. Someone on the street. Sometimes he will speak. It seems audible. Other times, most times it's an impression upon your spirit. Because God is primarily spirit. So why do you think that God doesn't even hear and listen to the palpitations of your heart? If you know that what God is literally interacting with is primarily your heart, you will find that you are able to pray through your heart even more. You are able to communicate with your father via the agency of your heart even more. I've always said it, that prayer is that thing we do. True prayer, like literally, what is prayer? Is what you do after the 2 hours you just spent praying. It is the interactions of your heart after that 2 hour time that you just spent. That's the one God is literally communing with, listening to. That is why when they would even come and speak to Jesus and they are asking Jesus one thing, he's answering another, because he's paying attention to the true prayer that is inside the man's heart. Because prayer is essentially what your heart is communicating to God. What you are communicating. God doesn't listen to what is coming out of your mouth. He listens to what is coming out of your heart. If as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, then that is what God is saying. And why am I drawing this? I'm not saying don't open your mouth to pray. I want us to know the back door, the back end, the starting point. If the starting place of prayer is my heart,
then it will be easier to pray. Because on days when my mouth cannot express the things that I need to say, I was asking somebody that how is it, how do dumb, deaf, blind people interact with God? How do they? Or they don't have a relationship with God? You'll be joking if you think that someone who is deaf and dumb doesn't have a relationship with God. If you know the vibrations of their heart and the way God is interacting with them on a steady, as a matter of fact, the mouth is no longer a deterrent. It's just what is inside that God is seeing. That's all they have. Why am I taking my time to go through the back door? Because I want all of us, because we are all on this, all of us to come to a place where, you know, when Jesus says, what I see my Father do, when did he see it? If he had to wait to go and pray that prayer we think we call prayer to come back and answer somebody per time, then how will he finish? How would Jesus have finished if he had to first wait, go and see inside the room, see, wait for a dream, wait for a vision, wait for a prayer meeting before he will now come and then now say, okay, all right, this is what God is saying now. He wouldn't have finished. The other time when Brother Ben was talking about divine speed, I caught it in my spirit. Who remembers? How Jesus, you know, you can walk so accurately that this divine speed is not a speed of, I just want to blow and I will just make it quickly. It's that you are able to fulfill purpose so fast. So fast, because of your level of synchronization with the heart of God, that all you needed was 3 years. Do you know that Jesus could have taken longer? It's not God that defined the 3 years. Oh God, you guys. If there were moments of relaxation by Jesus, or moments of, I'm not as on fire, I need to go and charge and come back, it would have taken longer. Prayer is that synchronization with the heart of the Father, where per time, what you are thinking and what God is thinking is so intertwined that you know when heaven needs to be in the earth right now, what part of heaven needs to be in this situation right now, what part of the kingdom needs to be established here right now. That is prayer. Sometimes will prayer require you to open your mouth? Yes, but it's not the opening your mouth that makes it prayer. Just like how it's not the singing that makes it worship. Your worship will lead you into singing. Singing can aid you into worship. But your prayer, similarly, prayer is also literally your synchronization with the heart of God. So as you open your mouth, it is not the opening your mouth that makes it prayer. Your opening of the mouth can just be a leading from prayer. So why do we struggle to pray? Because we don't understand prayer. It's not just that the devil has attacked us and he doesn't want us to wake up at 12 a.m. If that's all the devil has done, you are still okay. But if the devil has succeeded in making you even misunderstand the heart of the Father, that's where the trouble actually is. People who will wake up at 12 a.m. have already birthed something on their inside before then. People who are pressed to stand up at 3 a.m. and say, God, your will must be done, is because they carried the will already. And it is prayer that births the will of God on your inside before you can birth it on the outside. The proclamation of your faith through the words that come out of your mouth is actually just an after effect of what has come in on the inside. So that is what believers must begin to work out. The state of my heart. How am I in tune with the Father? How must I stay with the Father? That is why God is always like the heart of man, who shall ascend unto the Holy Spirit, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. Did he say he who has clean hands and fantastic vocabulary and ferociousness in their proclamations? No. Pure heart. Because essentially that is who we are. Have you not seen somebody that is hailing you now, and you know that why they are hailing you is because of what will come out of your pocket? All those guys at weddings that come and say, Madam, do they really see you as Madam? Do they care? Do they know the essence of your Madamhood? It's all a lie. It's because of this, and you know it. It's the same thing. If somebody is coming and he's saying, Jesus, I love you, you are the great I am that I am, and inside your heart, he's nowhere near I am. He knows. It happens between me and my daughter. Jadel is hailing me and loving me one kind of love, and I'm like, Jadel, what do you want? It's even today, it still happened. We're having a conversation, and the next day she's like, Mommy, I just love you. I said, Jadel, you didn't sleep. And I told her, if you don't have your nap, we're not going to go to the park tomorrow. And she didn't, she went there, laid down for hours, came back out. Mommy, is it evening yet? I said, you didn't have your nap. The next conversation, I love you so much. I just love the way you are, Mommy. I just love, these were her words. I love the way you are, everything you do. Mommy, I just love you. You're so amazing. She told me a dream she had in the morning. In this dream, she said a crocodile came and ate her exam papers. She didn't get 10 out of 10. We prayed about it. Do you know when she was telling me she loved me? She was like, Mommy, there's a part of my dream I didn't even tell you. That you came and you killed the crocodile for me. I said, Jadel, because of Park, you added to this dream. And then spies, I was afraid. I said, a five-year-old. I was impressed by her, whatever, but I was like, Jesus, is this what we do with God? She said, yes. Is this what we do with God? Where we are healing him, doing all these things, but there is that which is inside. Why not come to your father and say, Father, this thing that is inside? Because that's still what he's hearing. He's not hearing this hailing. He's hearing the troubles in your heart. It's okay to tell him, God, I know you are king, I know you are God, but right now I need to feel you as God in this situation. Do you get? That is why prayer then becomes easier. God is not a hard taskmaster. What we have called prayer is not what God calls it. The first thing Jesus said is, Our Father, he's trying to establish something. That there is a way you talk to your father. Apart from the tyrants we have as fathers, for that some people have as fathers in the world. Real fatherhood is that you go and say, Daddy. It's like our children. No matter how bad, they will still come and say, Mommy, Daddy, I want. Daddy, I love you. Daddy, this is how I see you. Daddy, this is what, if that's what it takes. But this is the last, I want to go to the park. So this is why some of us are not experiencing that prophetic flow. Because heart-mouth dissonance. From his throne to your heart, to your mouth, to the everything, there's a discordant sound. They are not going together. And so God wants to be able to flow in and through us like ebb and flow. You speak to me, I speak to you. You tell me your troubles. Look at David. When they say a man after God's heart, do you see how David will be crying and wailing? And you will almost call it complaining, but that's not it. He was being vulnerable. Say, have you forsaken me? Why have you let my enemies to come? David was not doing kalu-kalu with God. And God loves it. He knows where we are. Say, God, see where I am. I can go further by, I can push myself, but God, I'm actually tired. Then this is where prayer gets interesting. Because as you stay in that place, He starts to reveal to you his strength. He starts to show you where to get it, how to draw it. He starts to draw your attention. That's why sometimes you start to find yourself in that space, you're worshiping, and all of a sudden, all those things that felt like burdens, they begin to go off of you. Why? Because you were having an interaction with your Father. You put your burden at his feet and he gave you his. That's what prayer does. Exchanging your burden for his. Collecting his heart and giving him yours. This is what will make us a true prophetic people. I don't know how to form more. When I cannot feel his presence, I say, God, I know people say I should not feel, but God, I felt it before, I want to feel it now. Just shake something, let me know you are still with me. Because there are moments I don't feel truly that his presence is with me. And I'm asking myself questions and I'm like, God, are you still there? And that's what he wants. It's good. Because even Jesus at some point was like, bro, why have you forsaken me? But in the process of inquiry, he releases a dimension of his heart to you. And then immediately Jesus remembers. The Spirit of the Lord reminds him that it is about his will. There's that which that is set ahead of you. This is that moment where you now endure the cross for the joy that is set ahead of you. This is that moment. And then you brace yourself up again. Nevertheless, we've got this. It's not nevertheless on misunderstanding. It's not nevertheless on just faking it till you make it. It was premised on the word. Premised on his understanding of the assignment that he was sent to do. A reminder of who he was and why he came. You don't just say, "Ah, God, child, whatever you do, you are God." No. Let it be premised on a word of God that you know and have believed. Because without that faith, it's impossible to please him. Even if you are shouting, "Great are you, Lord," it is still impossible to please him when that "Great are you, Lord" is not premised on faith in his word. So a prophetic people must be giving to prayer. And this is what prayer is. If you want to grow and you want to say, "Okay, God, we're having this conversation at Excel meeting. You know, I've been having me and my husband, we know each other. We spend time, we're chilling on the bed. We go out on dates and they've come to warn me. We go out on dates and all of that." And after a while, I'm like, "Hi, there are certain parts of my husband I really want to get to know. So either I set a dinner or I'm like, babe, let's go on a date. Or babe, by so time on this day, let's go on a date. I want to ask you deeper questions. I want to know certain things about you that I probably have not even asked before. Are there certain things you are disappointed about? How can I love you better?" Sometimes you can ask those questions casually, and sometimes you want to make a date so that, you know, you can get to know deeper. And so we set a date for that. And so when we wake up at 12 a.m., that's what it really is. That I have an existing relationship with God. I've been talking to God all day. I know his heart, he knows my heart, but there are some deep things I want to spend time, I want to get to know. That's why I say I want to spend time in his word. Everybody is quiet, nobody can see us, the children are asleep, you know, just to get to know you better. That's how it should be. It shouldn't be because you want steam to be coming out of your head and be powerful. People go on mountains because they want to hear God and come down, and as they're coming down, people are just falling down. To what end? To what end? Because it's not like the presence, being carrying the presence of God doesn't release power out of you. But the essence of the release of that power is still to transform people's life, not for them to just be falling down. The nature of God and the level of God you have acquired in your private koinonia and fellowship, when you go out, is not the falling down that makes you powerful. It's that same life is transferred to somebody else. And they too begin to experience God. So as I know, it's none of us here, but those people that want to wake up at 12, people send me messages, "I try to do 12, I will try at 3 o'clock, I can't sustain it," because no relationship can be sustained that way. Imagine Imagine that's the only time I give God, like me and my husband, 12 midnights meets at the bed. After that 12 midnight, it go be. Because that's what we do. Because that 1 hour time feels so powerful, makes us feel, and we feel like, ah, that's the one I can carry around my day. You are joking. Because the real one is what you do the other 23 hours. So if you would even have an effective 1 hour, you see your 23 hours of meditating, of thinking, reflecting, having conversations with God, checking scriptures, listening to messages, those ones are even more powerful. All the more powerful, and they will power that 1 hour. Why you can't sustain 1 hour is because 23 hours is questionable. Jesus was having constant communication with the Father. Constant. That's why if he goes away to go and spend time, he is not tired like the rest of them. Because it's just a continuation of what he had been doing before. Now he's just doing it all the more privately. But if you have not settled your 23 hours, the thought in your heart, the meditations of your heart, you've spent all day on Netflix and you think that you will wake up by 3 o'clock for 3 days straight, you're joking. Because the pool of the ask me, even though yes, I may not be a Netflix junkie or I watch Netflix, anything, it can be anything. Anything I love and I enjoy watching. If I watch it consecutively for more than 1 hour, to pray, oh Lord Jesus, it will be like the weight of the world needs to come, as in they need to come and jack me up. So because of that understanding, you just be like, ah, I have to gauge what I'm doing over those 23 hours so that 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours I want to wake up will be effective, productive, can be fire the way you want it to be. And so I'm not against prayers of proclamation and using your mouth and speaking. But essentially, prayer is heart. If you forget anything, don't forget that tonight. Prayer is heart. What is my heart thinking per time? What is my heart thinking per time? And as you enjoy God every other time, that's 2 hours, 3 hours you want to spend will be like nothing. I'm telling you. It'll be like, it's just a continuous flow. And sometimes what we call spending time with God is actually just dealing with demons. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you want to deal with demons, you don't need to spend time. Those of us that want to wake up at 12 midnight to deal with demons, we are making a mockery of the power of God, you know? You know? Because if you want to address some demonic forces, every time Jesus is our guide. He did not spend more than 5 minutes tete-a-tete with demons. You want to cast it? You cast demons out. You don't dialogue them. You let them be. I had a dream twice, different times. Demon is giving me word, me too. I'm giving back. The word is, as in, I was arguing. The first time I was arguing, I just said, would you get out? If you see the speed at which that demon left, I said, when I woke up, the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, that's the authority you have as a believer. But more than that, I realized that I was doing back and forth, though. I was giving the demon back the word, though. I was still doing basbos. It's not basbos. Some may be tougher, depending on your level, but it's confidence. It's confidence in God, confidence in his word and the blood that has been shed for you, that you are using as leverage to overcome the power of the enemy. And so when you experience a case, the second dream, it was now fight, like physical fight. And I'm doing, and I was like, would you get out of this place? And it literally, there were three this time. They just walked away, like humans, you know, just. I was like, so I was busy fighting, using energy. Demons don't respond to your energy. They respond to who you are. And if you don't know who you are, that's when they used to use our head to be doing like this. So when you wake up to pray, If it's demons you want to address, please give yourself time. Yes, if you want to spend time with God in His Word, that one is different. If you want to address demons, yes, and be out. If you have petitions to make to God, make them. Know the different kinds of prayers. If there are things that are burning and you say, God, this thing has to be, it has to happen in the earth now. Governmental prayers. You sense God has put it upon your heart that the time for this thing to happen is now. You're like, God, I'm not letting you go. You see this thing? It must happen now. And you are proclaiming in the place of prayer. You are declaring the word of God. Governmental prayers are not done in perpetuity. If you have to consistently pray a particular prayer in a particular way, it means that we need to pause and reevaluate again. And ask the Lord again, that what's really going on? It's happened to Daniel. He's praying. He has already caught it. That the time for the release is now. And here we are. And he's praying. And can you imagine? An angel said, see, the day you started, Avedo. So, I want us to, this is, like Bible scholar to Bible scholar. So do you think that, what if Daniel, should Daniel have continued or should he have stopped? If God heard from the first time he prayed, did the extra days mean added, did he add anything? I'm curious. What do you think? What do you guys think? Dialogue session. What do you guys think? Well, I'm sure. To keep himself going. Yeah.
Could have been discouraged.
Yes, along the line. So you see that persistency in prayer opens door. And sometimes it doesn't open. It's not the answer. So persistency in prayer is not really about God answering. It's about you entering. Because God can answer. But persistency gives you access inside. Daniel was able to enter into the landscape. If he had not continued, he wouldn't have been able to, he wouldn't have been told of the interactions between the angels and the prince of Persia. We wouldn't have had spiritual intelligence to know now that there are prince of Persia that can disturb your prayer when you start praying. He wouldn't have been able to experience some of the angelic encounters that he had. So it's not so much that God didn't answer you the first time you prayed that prayer. It's not that God didn't hear you the first time you prayed that prayer. But there are certain things God wants you to enter into. That is why he says when you knock, there's a way somebody will knock. It's not friendship. It's the persistency that makes me open the door. So it's not that you had to, how do I put it now? It's not that God is not listening, God is not hearing, or God just wants you to be talking. No. As you pray consistently, there are certain parts of that prayer you are praying that start to open up to you. And so a people who are prophetic, or a people who will be prophetic, must be able to see, perceive, know. But don't think that it is the longevity that makes God answer you. God, I'm going to give you 10 days, or I'll give you 15 days. Why? Does it take God that long to hear us? As his children? Is that consistent with his nature? That he just wants to be dangling carrots in our front and he's like, Ray, I want to see you sweat. Yeah, I've not sweat. You people are still enjoying AC. Let's sweat. Come out. No, he's not like that. He's not that kind of God. And so I want to encourage us, you know, that
There are times where indeed we will have to war, like that scripture says. I don't think it's here. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. There are some things God has said that you will have to proclaim. But do you know that one of the greatest positions in warfare is standing? Do you know that there is a way you will stand and you'll be like, you can't pass here? As in your stance on a matter is so powerful that even principalities and powers know that just be going somewhere else, just leave this one. Because of your stance. So waging a good warfare is not only that you cry. Sometimes it's how you stand. Even in the face of opposition. In the face of all the things that look otherwise of what God has said to you. It's how you stand knowing that Elay. How do they say it? Elay me lo my last. The person that has Emi is who will last. I can't believe it from every time DDK wants to interpret English, you are even more confused. I'll be Yoruba. So, but really and truly, who has mind? That's the person that can last. That's what it means. Who has guts? Who has stamina? And how you know someone has stamina? If the person stands, it's like, what's his name? Maybe Mike Tyson now stands and you use your small finger and doing like this to his chest. Nothing now, nothing moves. That's how you should see all the things that try to oppose God's word to you. And so I want to encourage us this evening that a prophetic people are a people who are giving to prayer. And that the things you do in your heart, the things you interact with in your heart, the beliefs and the faith you have in God in your heart is what propels prayer, is what activates prayer, is what actually sustains your prayer life. And so right here, this moment, I want us to pray this prayer. I know we are already praying. I know that a lot of us are having interactions in our hearts already. And so I want you to just continue in that place and say, God, let your word, let it be true in my heart. Help my heart, oh God, to believe your word, to live out your word. Help me to stay connected to you. Help me to stay aligned with you. Help me to believe what you believe. Just like Jesus, who said, it is what I see my Father do, that is what I do, and what I hear him say, that is what I say. Father, if I don't have that connectedness to you, I cannot wage a good warfare. And so, Father, we are praying this evening that you will help our hearts, O Lord, to remain aligned. Help our hearts to be synchronized with yours. Help the thoughts and the meditations of my heart to be pleasing to you, O God. Give me a purified heart, a purified mind that stays on you, that is focused on you, that keeps its gaze upon you, that is set upon you, upon your word all the time. In the name of Jesus, help me to be fixated on your word. Help me to be fixated on your truth. Help my heart to consistently ruminate on your word, that my heart may be fertile ground for communication, oh God, that you'll be able to speak to me at every given point in time, that whatever it is you want to say to a people, whatever it is you want to say to a nation, whatever it is you want to say to a generation, you will find a heart, oh God, that is suitable for you to speak through, because my heart is consistently stayed on you, that my heart is consistently true to you, that I will not devote my heart, my time to another, that I will not make an idol out of anything else, oh God, that you will be my greatest idol in the name of Jesus, that I will idolize you, that I will love you, that I will dote on you, that I will love you with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of
of my strength, all that is within me. I will find delight in you, oh God. My whole soul will find delight in you, oh God. That everything that I say, it is because that is what is in my heart. There will not be any dissonance between the words that come out of my mouth and what is running in my heart. In the name of Jesus, Father, help us this finishing generation, that we may be a people that are giving to you, that are dedicated to you all the days of our lives, that we are dedicated to your lordship, that we are dedicated to your sovereignty, and that we may be a people who understand your fatherhood, who understand the way you love us. We will understand the relationship that you have with us, that we may love you like the children, just like the children. You said if we are not like the children, we will not enter. Father, we want to enter, and so we ask that you give us hearts like children who know how their father loves and adores them. Father, we will not do things out of comparison. We will not do things out of pressure. We will not do things out of comparing ourselves with others. But Father, we will do it because we love you. We will do it because it's true. We will do it because it's true to us. It's true to you. It's what you want. It's what you delight in. In the name of Jesus, every part of our hearts dedicated wholly and solely to you. The things that we have found difficult to do before now, Father, because you are working in our hearts, it will become easier to do. Father, obedience will become easier to do because our hearts stayed on you. We love you, Lord. We want to continually do your will all the days of our lives. This finishing church, this finishing generation, we want to be a people that are after your heart, just like David. We want to be a people who desire to know what you are saying, what you are doing, how you are doing it, why you are doing it. In the name of Jesus, we will not be in the dark. We will not be in the dark as to what you want done in the earth, because we are here and because you have called us here for such a time as this. We will be a people, oh God, who are completely aligned to what you are doing, completely aligned to what you are saying. We will not miss a beat in the name of Jesus. We will not miss a beat in the name of Jesus. This generation, oh God, we will not miss a beat as you are working in us, oh God. We will hit the bullseye in the name of Jesus. We will hit the bullseye every single time. We will know what you are saying. We will know how you are instructing, and we will follow after you, oh God. Every single moment, we will hit the target in the name of Jesus. We will hit the target in the name of Jesus. We will hit the target in the name of Jesus at every point, at every season, every moment in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way in us. Have your way through us, oh God. We will not be a people who are given to pretense, who are given to fake life. We will not be a people who pretend. We will be a people who are true. We will worship you in spirit and in truth. Nothing about us will be a lie. Nothing about us will be false. Nothing about us will be untrue. In the name of Jesus, we shall be a people who are true. A people who worship you in spirit, who worship you in truth. In the name of Jesus, everything about us will be authentic. Everything about us will be real. In the name of Jesus, our experiences with you will be real. Our experiences with you will be true. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We adore you, God. We adore you, Father, because indeed you are working in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We see you, God, doing that mighty work in us. We see you, God, doing that mighty work in us. Keep doing your work in us, oh God. Don't stop until you are done, Father. Don't stop until you are done, Father. Every spirit of rebellion in us, Father, let it be removed in the name of Jesus. Everything that causes our soul to rebel against you, oh God, to rebel against your word, against your leading, Father, let it be removed in the name of Jesus. Father, cause us to be a people that are given to follow you, God. We are not goats. We are not goats. We are sheep. We are not stubborn. We are sheep. We are submissive in the name of Jesus. We are not goats. We are sheep in the name of Jesus. We will follow you. We will follow you because you are our shepherd and you are leading us in the right direction. Anywhere you tell us to go, that is where we will go. Even when it's tough, even when it's hard, that is where we will go in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you started. Thank you, Jesus, for what you started. Because you started it, Jesus, we are able to continue. Because you showed us the way, we are able to be also. You said greater works that you did, we will do. And the greatest work you did was to obey the Father to the finish. And so we declare that we also, we will obey the Father to the finish in the name of Jesus, because that same spirit that is in Christ is also the same spirit that is within us. And so we declare that we are followers of Jesus to the very end. We are followers of your word, your voice to the very end, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Let us give praise to God. Let us thank him for what he has released and the things he has settled in us. Father, to you be all the glory. Lord, to you be all the praise. As we leave, oh God, the things that you have marked in us will not be removed. We will not sleep on it. We will not sleep on it. But we will carry it, oh God, and continue to run with it until it continually bears fruit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. To you be all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.